On Bodies, Past and Present. Written by Demery. Read by Opalsong. Fandom My Hero Academia. Rating explicit. Relationships Aizawa Shota, Yagi Toshinori. Takauchi Naomasa and Yagi Toshinori. All Might / Career and All Might / Floozies. Also tagged for masturbation, shame, sex, sexual fantasy, showers, three showers, Three Shower Tuesday, Toshi, think of the environment, shame doesn't wash off, and get it. Part 7 of the Bandages and Bravado series.
Just fine before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again. I know it breaks your heart. Moved to the city and I broke down crying. 4 years, no calls. Now you're looking pretty in a hotel bar. And
later that night, Toshinori rinsed his wiry blonde hair one last time and turned off the shower, regretting it the instant the burning hot water sloughed away. Suddenly, after the week he'd had, the prospect of leaving immediately into the cooler, dry air of his modest apartment sounded exhausting and exposing. He carefully slid down the wall to the shower floor and angled his legs to fit his long body in the tiny space, absently watching the steam rise from his skin in a way that almost mimicked his transformation. He smirked a little bitterly. Funny. Breathing in the thick steam with difficulty, he lifted his arm and contemplated his wiry limbs. For the first time in a long time, he actually looked, felt, instead of relying on the mental image he had of skin barely clinging to collapsing bones, insufficiently incarnate. There were isolated bulges of muscle, still hard, but sparse. He could lift his weight like this, plus a little more. But there was no flow, no gorgeous, fluid ripple with every movement. Dry earth, craggy slopes, mostly scar tissue. He was like a puppet with all his joints showing, but not quite skin and bones. Not yet. Then, with the plane of his ruined torso spread out before him and his scrawny legs nearly bent double, he thought about what Aizawa had said. When was the last time he'd done something he really enjoyed? Besides going to the movies and getting popcorn against the doctor's orders. He'd been with women, yes, of course, but it probably wasn't how anybody thought. Back in the day, everyone would crowd him for interviews and chase after young ladies he'd as much as lifted into his arms, riffing off his reputation as an effortless dreamboat and womanizer for story upon story. He shook his head miserably at the thought, especially the going price of an interview from someone who said they'd slept with All Might. A lot more came forward to talk than he had ever kissed, that was for sure. Really, the most he could say about himself was that he was a good kisser. That he knew. Half the time that was the key. It was a dream for lovely, rescued ladies to be dipped and soundly kissed by the symbol of peace. Anything else? A reporter he once dallied with. A very few intense kidnapping cases that demanded an intimate resolution beyond paperwork. They were all stilted, temporary things. It had to be. He was likely very, very poor at lovemaking. He felt no shame about admitting it, because it was a simple lack of practice, or even engagement. Besides some hasty groping in academy, he'd never gotten the chance to actually touch another person with the intention of making them feel amazing, due to the sheer fact of who he was. With those encounters, the setup alone seemed to be worth the price of admission for the lucky ladies. They, models, single moms, sassy daughters of American ambassadors, wanted their night with All Might. They wanted to kiss him and be carried to bed like a precious thing. They wanted to flutter their eyelashes at him and their mouths around his cock, and be laid on their backs on silky hotel sheets to be ravished. It was not rote, but at least predictable, and he enjoyed it for what it was. After a while, he even stopped trying to use his fingers cleverly and perfected the tidiest way to rip lacy underwear. There was no cozy, quippy breakfast after. His encounters were painstakingly scripted, the finale being an open window, and that was okay. He knew he couldn't have anyone. He was in much too trouble all the time. That was fine. That was what he'd signed up for. As for men, he grimaced. He'd had feelings once or twice. He wasn't sure what category of feelings they were, really. Again, never a chance to think or explore. And All Might couldn't really be seen sweeping handsome businessmen off with a kiss. The strongest instance was a friendship that began unexpectedly some years ago, after his first bout of surgeries, and one he would never regret for the strength and support it brought his tumultuous life. Now Masa was clean-cut, honorable, and so very traditionally handsome, and as they fell into step and got to know each other over coffee dates and emails, Toshinori found himself more and more impressed and intrigued by him, flustered by his attention even. With his resilience and determination, now Masa single-handedly refined his conception of police work. Especially in the isolation of his recovery, he found himself looking forward more and more to seeing him, spending quiet evenings poring over evidence with a cold beer, laughing together. Then, one night, when now Masa had one too many and their familiarity began to crack his formal exterior, the officer had leaned close, pulling him into an awkward hug. The man's skin was warm, alcohol flush visible across his broad, straight nose, and Toshinori felt a thrill. It went deep, cleaner and hotter than the crude beer messing with his head. It felt amazing. Then he said it. "What a change this must be for you. It's Friday night and all you have for company is me and a bunch of parking ticket logs. All your life, women throwing themselves at you, vying for a chance with All Might. Now who would look twice at you, String Bean? You're a terror." He remembered forcing himself to chuckle. It tasted bitter and metallic, and something in him just fell. He almost pulled away when now Masa wagged him by the needle shoulders, laughing uproariously at his own daring joke. "It's okay, friend. I'll be here for you. We'll be single, ugly old men, wed to our work. Now, let me grab you another beer, and we'll crack this case for sure." Toshinori stepped out of the shower and rubbed his hair dry, trying not to look at the jagged outline of his wasted body in the fogged mirror. He wandered to his couch with a fresh glass of water, one huge hand pinning the tired towel to his waist, and sat down with a sigh. Now Masa hadn't meant it. Well, of course he'd meant it, but he hadn't meant for it to hit Toshinori that way. He was sure. He didn't even know, and he never would. He was an incredible man who deserved an incredible person. Besides, there was nothing Toshinori could really give him but headaches, which he already had plenty of. Especially since he had been kind enough to take over his awful paperwork load so he could continue to work as All Might. Sitting and carefully sipping his water, Toshinori's thoughts turned to Aizawa and their most recent conversation, as well as the others. He always placed such insistence on the older hero taking care of himself, in many ways. Aizawa had an odd description of care. The way he spoke about the body's needs was inspiring, admittedly. If only Toshinori weren't so bad at listening to anything other than his fretful mind, except in the heat of battle. Then he started thinking about the other man's dark eyes and his strong, pale hands, the weight of his gaze and attention. He shivered. Unless he was capable of misunderstanding such a blatant thing, his fellow instructor preferred men. Very much. With that news in mind, he thought back to their last encounter. The hand on his thigh, the knuckles brushing the bulge of his misbegotten erection, made a little more sense if Aizawa were accustomed to arrangements and had such a broad view of self-care. He must be pitying him. It was easy to do, he thought with a bitter smirk, choking a bit on his water. Clearing his throat, Toshinori sat against the back of the couch, adjusting the towel. His body was still cooling down from the shower, and slowly. After a moment, he winced and adjusted the towel again because what if he hadn't said no? What if he had let him keep going, with his hand on his leg? It was stupid, he knew, and he shouldn't even be thinking about it. He should be thinking about pretty people he knew nothing about. Wasn't it supposed to be easier? Pretty people and kissing and other very normal things. He noticed his own spread legs and, hesitating only a little, spread them a bit further, as far as the reins could tug. Hands, wrists together, against his leg. Following the energy, he breathed deeply, feeling out that place. He put himself back on the other man's luxurious couch, wrists and ankles bound, vision blacked out to little more than steady, shivering breaths. If he'd said yes, Aizawa's fingers would have loosened his button and zipper with a tug, dragged up and down the trapped length of his erection. Bold but slow, easy, smug, probably watching him shift into it and away from it, unsure but hooked on the pressure. Carefully, Toshinori slid his hand underneath the towel and squeezed the base of his scalding cock, relishing the answering jolt of dense arousal. He thought of steam and wanted his muscles to bulge up, but knew, with a twinge of noxious shame, that he shouldn't. His time was so limited. Almost compulsively, he never touched himself in his true form. He always changed to something he could face in the mirror, the thing he wanted to be. But now this body was all he had, or at least the only one that knew Aizawa's hands and how they felt on his sore muscles. That, at least, was an anchor he could grab onto, to get him past the gag of shame inherent in being like this. Leaning back, he imagined hot breath at his cheek, the faint tang of beer, and something sharp and peppery. Tea tree and pine. Aizawa bending down, one knee denting the couch, to watch his expression as he pumped leisurely at his cock, dark hair brushing Toshinori's neck. He wouldn't give it to him right away. He would tease, probably make him ask for it again. Toshinori's free hand twisted into the towel above the imaginary rein, legs flexing but unmoving. The pressure built as he palmed the head of his cock and pumped faster, grunting softly. Breathed deep and bit his lip, remembering the few times Aizawa had chuckled and how it sounded, how it would sound right against his ear. As long as he tried to stretch it out, it was mortifyingly quick. He just imagined a hand grabbing into the hair at the base of his neck and a hot, wet kiss, and he arched hard, coming into his hand with a faint curse. Cum dribbled over his fingers and into the plane of his stomach, body pulsing with a quick pain and then sweet, floating relief. The symbol of peace sat in hazy disarray, panting, then looked down in vague disappointment at the mess he'd made. So much for the second shower of the day. Then he thought, closed his eyes, grit his teeth, and cursed himself. So much for an unusual but casual arrangement with a fellow faculty member. Frantically wiping his hand on the towel, Toshinori threw his head back against the couch once, twice. He was in trouble. He was in so much trouble. The end.
In the backseat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your shoulder. Pull the sheets right off the corner of that mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!